We're into our second talk in the autumn series, which is about prayer. And last week, Peter asked us, what is prayer? Asked that question and came up with, it is a personal relationship with God. And in the second talk today, we're moving on into how do we encounter God in that relationship? What does it look like? What does it mean? And I want to say right at the beginning that I am no expert in prayer. That if in what I say this morning something reaches home to you, then that's good, because that's God talking to you. But don't take it that I'm the one who's got the answers, right? Because that is not the situation. I'll give you the outline of the talk. I'm going to talk about prayer in other religions. Then I'm going to talk about my own experience. Then I'm going to talk about what Jesus said and did about prayer. And then I'm going to come back to actually where I am at the moment in prayer and maybe a few hints, ideas. So first of all, prayer in other religions. So one thing is, this will sound stupid, but actually it's quite profound. As far as we know, animals don't pray. But as far as we know, all of humanity, at some point or other, look to God for needs or help to a God. So there seems to be within people that awareness of somebody beyond that they can appeal to, which is not true for animals, which is, you know, interesting in evolution and discussion and all those things. But we won't go there. What I want to do now is just look at other religions and how they pray. And I want to start with Hinduism, but Hinduism as an example of Eastern religions, also Buddhism, Shintoism, those Eastern religions. Their way of praying is mainly mantras, that is, the repetition of the same words, to get you to a point where you lose yourself. You forget, in a sense, reality yourself. And takes you into a place of meditation. And the idea of the meditation is that you become one with the infinite, with the truth, with the divine, and that's used very loosely. But what is very clear, that the divine is unknowable. So you're getting away from yourself and your reality to become one with the universe. That's fundamentally what it's about. Yoga, meditation, mantras, etc. all move in that direction. To become one with the infinite. The second religion is Islam, and that's very different. In Islam, Muslims pray five times every day. It's called the Salat. And all good Muslims have to do that five times every day. They also do communal prayer on a Friday at the mosque. And their prayer is a unit. And it's called a rakat. R-A-K-A-T. And I'm going to tell you what it's made up of, because I think it's quite interesting. By the way, has anyone seen a Muslim praying around Hemingford Gray? Because if you were in our garden about 2 weeks ago, we had a group of students from London come, and two of the eye doctors are from Nigeria and they're Muslims, and we were having lunch in the sunshine in the garden when they suddenly said, may we go and pray? And they went to a corner of the garden and faced east and did the rakat. And the rakat is this: after performing ablution and evoking the intention to pray to Allah, you stand quietly reciting verses from the Quran. Then you bow low with your hands on knees as if waiting for God's orders. You then prostrate yourself on the ground with your forehead and nose on the floor and elbows raised in a posture of submission to God. You then sit up with your feet folded under your body, and you recite, "Peace be upon you and God's blessings to your right and to your left," which is your words to other people. That's the idea behind it. That's called the rakat. And for these five times of the day, they may have to do it two times or four times or different numbers. Right, that's how they pray. Why? Allah tells Muslims to do it, and if they do it right, they will benefit. But Allah doesn't listen, and he doesn't need the prayers. Five times a day, these units of rakat, because they're told to do it, and therefore they may benefit from it. Judaism, so Orthodox Jews, they pray three times a day. Their prayers are to recite verses from the Torah or from the Siddur. And the Siddur is the Jewish Book of Common Prayer. So they are prayers that are kind of written down and they repeat them. They do that three times a day. They can do it individually or they can do it corporately. But to do it corporately, for it to have meaning, there has to be 10 men. Nothing about women, but you have to have 10 men. 9's no good, you need 10. That's how they do it. Why do they do it? By the way, that's very different from Old Testament praying, if you look. But why do they do it? It's to serve God and to make ourselves godlike. Those words are quite interesting. To make ourselves godlike. So we are doing it that we might become godlike. So that's some religions and different ways of praying. And remember, as I said, that most people in different ways will pray at some time. So what about me? I'm going to come on to what Christ says in a minute. But I've been a Christian more than 40 years. I found prayer difficult, and I've written down what I find difficult, and I'm going to read it because then it kind of is exactly what I feel. So I find prayer difficult, and I have asked myself why. The first reason is I find it difficult to make time for prayer. That is, I find it difficult to make it a priority, a desire, or a love in my life. Because I know that if there is something that I really want to do, that I desire, or that I love, I can always make time. So it actually comes down to not so much the issue of time, but the issue of what do I want to do. When I pray, there are three things that can happen. The first is my mind wanders and drifts off away from God. And start thinking about all sorts of other things. Because of that, what I end up doing is making a list of requests, things that I have to remember, trying not to forget someone or not to forget something. But my heart is really not in it. It's just a ritual. It's a shopping list. Third is, I look for the right theological words or the right prayer technique which I think will open the door to God. If I could just get the right words somehow, then there would be the breakthrough or the right technique. So the result of all that is that prayer becomes a duty, not a delight. I don't enjoy it. And I don't really expect answers. That's partly based upon that I might not have seen answers. And therefore I think, well, are there any really answers? It's a kind of insurance policy from which I do not expect anything. But I'm almost afraid to stop, because if I stop, I don't know what will happen. That's how. By the way, I will give a bit of positives in a minute. And why have I prayed that way? Because I thought I would get God's blessings. So somehow I thought I would get God's saying well done, or fruit, or something. I would get something from it in that sense. So having said that, so we've looked at what other religions do, and why they do it, how they pray, and why they pray. Remember that Hindus, unknowable one with something. Sorry, it sounds bad. But to become one with a divinity that they cannot know. For Muslims, because they will benefit from Allah, but not really any other thing, and it's a ritual. And even from the Jews, that they, by doing these words and verses and so on, that they themselves may become more godlike. And for me, that I'll get something from God. So what did Jesus say about prayer? So first of all, he said things not to do. I'm going to read various scriptures out to you now. So Jesus said, Matthew 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Luke 11, the disciples asked him, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. Notice our, not my Father. I actually often pray my Father, but it's meant to be a corporate prayer. It's meant to be our Father. Our Father, and you know the rest of the Lord's Prayer. So that's what Jesus said to others about prayer, what not to do and what to do. And then what did he himself do? Here are some more verses. Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I will, but your will. So, Father, your will be done. Luke 23, on the cross, Father, forgive them. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. John 11, this is with Lazarus, and it's a corporate prayer, not an individual. Jesus, Father, I thank you that you have listened to me. And then he brought Lazarus back from the dead. John 17, which is a chapter on prayer to the disciples. I am not praying only on their behalf, but also on behalf of all those who believe in me through their testimony, that they will all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. I pray that they will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. John 14, a very famous verse, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So the how with Jesus was all about the Son and the Father. It was all about that relationship. It was all about a conversation between Jesus and his Father. So why do we pray as Christians? So again, from Jesus in John 17, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he looked up toward heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, just as you have given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That's the why. So, why pray to know God? It's the relationship. It's a conversation. It's not an ulterior motive beyond that. It's the very same reason why I talk to my wife. Right. Prayer is about the conversation, listening to God, and then going to God with your request, what's on your heart. There's no magic techniques, there's no rituals, there's no repeating things and so on. It's taking time for that relationship. It's about spending time to love God with all our heart and to know how to love our neighbours ourselves. That's where we get it from that time. So where am I now? And I think for all of us, it's a journey, right? But where I am now is that I do make time, because I now have it clear that I will say God first. And for me, it has to be a morning. I'm useless at night. So I have to do it in the morning. I have to get up, and almost before anything, I have to say God first. Because if I once start doing something else, like an email or even breakfast or whatever, it's gone. It's got to be God first. And that's the time. And the time somehow has to be open-ended. I've not got to be thinking in 20 minutes, I've got to do that. So I have to start early enough that in some ways the time doesn't matter. That doesn't mean the time has to be long. It just means that time shouldn't be a block. That's one thing. The second is it's flexible. So there's no standard thing now that I've got to do this, then I've got to do that, then I've got to do that. And for me now, it's always a mixture of reading God's word, because that's listening to God. Thinking about that word, which is letting God speak to me through that word, and then taking what's on my heart to God, which usually means kneeling down and praying. But it's all one. It's not like, you know, that's my Bible study and now my prayer time. It's the time of conversation with God, of being with God, listening to him, thinking about it, and then talking about it. And it can be mixed up. Sometimes one will come before the other, and sometimes it may not even be the Bible. It may be a short devotion or some book I've been reading or something. But it's time with God. That's the thing. It's having that time with God. I find that the Lord's Prayer is helpful to make me kneel down. If I kneel down, if I then slowly go through the Lord's Prayer and using each line for that day, what does it mean for that day? Not reciting the whole prayer, boom. But rather, what does thank you for my daily bread, what does it mean today in what I'm going to do? And I have a picture which is on the wall and I find very helpful, and I'm going to show it to you. This is Rembrandt's Prodigal Son. So this is the prodigal son here returning home. If you remember the story, he is the son. He's the son of the father, but he says, I want my inheritance. So the father gives him his inheritance. He goes off to the far land. Taking the inheritance and doing that is like the son disowns the father. That's what it means. I've left you. I've gone. I'm not your son anymore. And he goes off with his inheritance. He wastes his inheritance. And then there's that cool line in the story where he says, I came to my senses. And he says, let me go home and be a servant in my father's house. So he goes home and his father is waiting for him. And when he comes back in rags and no shoes and kneels, and the father puts his hands on the shoulder and lifts him up. And the prayer starts here, but in the prayer it goes on, because he lifts him up and he puts the robes on him and he puts rings on his fingers and he feeds. The prayer goes on to what we have in Christ. You don't stay there, but you have to start there. Right, with knowing this loving Heavenly Father and going back to him and knowing that he's now clothed us in righteousness and we have all the inheritance of heaven at our fingertips. And that's the beginning of that kind of conversation. So this picture kind of helps me get that relationship then, son with father, and kind of what it means. And so that time may be anything from 5 minutes, sometimes it's half an hour. It's not the thing of the quantity of time that suddenly makes prayer wonderful. It's the quality. It's that, it's what you're doing in that time. And then from then, I'll go into the day, and what I'll try and do during the day is just have a verse or a thought or something that I kind of want to keep going back to. And as things happen in the day, I'll just try and reflect back on that. You know, so you get busy doing something, but suddenly you can reflect back to that verse. Or somebody will come into your mind, and as they come into your mind, you just pray for them at that moment, walking along the street, doing whatever you want. Right? Which is the kind of ongoing prayer. But it starts with knowing God. It starts with the relationship in the morning, and then being able to live the day based upon that. To summarise, prayer is about encountering God in relationship, and the encounter is with a father. It's with a loving father. As a church, what's our vision? Lives transformed by Jesus. Right, that's our vision, lives transformed. Which lives? It starts here. Right? The first life to be transformed is here. As this life is transformed, so Jesus may use this life to transform others. But he's got to start here. And who does the transformation? Jesus. So our vision starts in prayer, in that knowing God and knowing Jesus and letting him transform our lives. And then we can go out into the day with that relationship ready to go to others. There's a little booklet, it's called Try Praying. It's very simple, it's 7 days, very short. It can be used that you give to someone, right, who is not a Christian, but who may pray. And this will kind of open it up for them. You may find it helpful yourself. At the door, as you go out, I'm going to have them and offer them to people if you want one. And the same people that did this did another one, which is a 40-day one used for Lent, which has a bit more in it of kind of some thinking and some verses and so on. I go through this time and time again. I don't just use it in Lent. I kind of keep going back to it. But again, just as part of that, something to read, something to think, something to reflect on. Not as a ritual, but just as an aid to it. Just think about all those other religions and the time that people are spending trying to earn something when actually God gives us his love and says, just accept it. Just give me some of your time and I'll show you my love and help you to love other people. And some of that time is praying with him and reading his word. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we come as prodigal children. We thank you that as we kneel before you and say sorry, you lift us up, clothe us in your love, make us your children, inheritors of the kingdom of God and of eternal life. Lord, we just praise you so much and ask that you would transform our lives through the work of Jesus, that we may go and transform the world to be your kingdom. Amen.